Everybody, this is Dominique. Are you ready to do more with your life and money? Today, I am going to take a few of the crucial lessons from the classic Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill to show you how you can have a more fulfilled life with financial contentment. Stay tuned.
Are you tired of feeling like there's more to life that you're just not experiencing? Are you unmotivated by keeping up with the status quo? Are you ready to start living intentionally with your finances and creating the life you want? Get ready for Experiencing Financial Contentment with Dominique Henderson, a podcast focused on helping you create margin for the life you want to live by putting your money where your heart is. Each week, Dominique will help you explore the decisions you make around money so that you can achieve better results. Now, here's your host, Dominique Henderson.
Hey, everybody. This is Dominique Henderson with DJH Capital Management, where we are helping our clients to achieve their ideal financial outcome and host of Experiencing Financial Contentment, the podcast. So on this podcast, if you haven't watched before, we talk about all things financial contentment, anything that has to do with your life and your money and having a more fulfilled life. Like I like to say, it's all about taking that red pill from and leaving the matrix of the average so that you can live a life of purpose, of meaning. And today we're going to talk about some very interesting things. So lessons of financial contentment or financial contentment lessons from Think and Grow Rich. And I'll refer to my notes today. But when the market started moving like it did at the beginning of February, and I podcasted about this last week and also did a blog, so you could check that out. But when the market started moving, there was a lot of angst in the consumer psyche, if you will. And it got me to thinking a lot about my message of financial contentment, which we're going to go into in just a bit. So I wanted to take a fairly deep dive with some popular media. And really, I would like this to be a series. So we'll see how this kind of evolves. Today, we'll talk about Think and Grow Rich. I have some other books that I've read and some movies, actually, that I've seen that, believe it or not, put me in the same mind of financial contentment. I want to share some of those, some thoughts behind what I'm thinking with the message of financial contentment and see if that resonates with you. So today we'll be thinking Grow Rich, and we'll probably try to extract two or three things out of there if time allows. And I'll put also some previous podcasts where we talked about some of these concepts in a little bit more depth. So if you want to dig deeper, you can always dig deeper. And we'll talk about this at the end, but I've just launched within the last couple of weeks the Mavens Financial Bootcamp, which is my e-course that will teach you way more about financial contentment than we can do today. And help you start aligning your life and your money together so that you can live a life of purpose and meaning and your why and live your why. So let's dig right in today. And we're just going to talk. I'll be in front of the camera a lot. Like I said, I'm going to refer to my notes a little bit. I think the first thing that is good, and I will be reading from the book. So, this is not my own stuff. This is me and my wife. We just recently finished up Think and Grow Rich. We're trying to read a book together every month. That's part of our new 2018 mantra, just to kind of grow together and deepen our relationships, our relationship together. So Think and Grow Rich is a very good classic. If you haven't read it, I've read it for a couple of years now. It's one of those things that you can pick up all the time and just really get some good nuggets out of it. And so how it relates to financial contentment, I think it starts in the beginning with the power of thought. It's the very first thing that is talked about in this book. And I believe our thoughts are the cornerstone to our actions and thus our results. I've talked about in my ebook and in the e-course, I talk about this pyramid, which at the bottom of the pyramid is your belief system. And underlying your belief system is how you've experienced life. So you got your how you've experienced life, your belief system, and then on top of your belief system is what you decide to do. It's your actions, it's your decisions, it's your behaviors. And then on top of that would be your results. Now, whether those results are good and bad, you can always tweak your belief system to get different results. And so that's just kind of what I believe. So there's a couple of lines in here that align with that because the power of thought is so powerful. Power of thought is powerful. The page three in this edition of the book, which I have on the screens, though, and it says, when one is truly ready for a thing, it puts it. I'm sorry. When one is truly ready for a thing, it puts in its appearance. So it's talking about a story of a guy that wanted to work with Thomas Edison. And he had this very strong thought that he wanted a very intentional relationship with Thomas Edison, not to just work for him, but he wanted to actually be his partner. And so that's what it's referring to here. And I also want to read, before I go into my next thought, a little thing that's on page 15 that says, our brains become magnetized with the dominating thoughts we hold in our minds. By means with which no one is familiar, these magnets attract to us the forces, the people, the circumstances of life, which harmonize with the nature of our dominating thoughts. So it kind of goes back into that rubric that I just tell you about, how whatever you believe, your belief system, which is the software that your brain is running, that belief system will trigger you to do different behaviors, which these magnets are drawn to and give you the results of those behaviors. So, you know, I love this because for any opportunity that I've gotten, that even probably that you've gotten, that's come before you, it was likely in your mind way before the moment actually happened. Like your mind was prepared for that moment before it happened. And what I mean is that there's been some type of energy, maybe you were praying for an opportunity, what have you, before it actually did happen. And like it, I guess, juxtaposed to that is when you got a job, let's say the day that you got a job or this great opportunity, let's just use a job opportunity. You were looking for a job and you didn't have one. And then you finally got that job. The day that they called you was not the day that you were thinking, oh, I'm not going to get a job today. That was not what your thoughts were. Now, granted, over the time period, you may have had some thoughts of this is never going to work out, but you were mostly concentrating on the thought that I'm going to get a job. Eventually, this is going to work out for me. And that's how things work. I'll give you this quick personal example is I was unemployed for a period of time about 7 years ago, 8 years ago now, I guess, maybe even 9 years ago, back in 2006, I believe it was. So well, I guess that's 12 years ago. My math is all off. But anyways, this is the point. The day that I got this opportunity, and it's a really great story. I don't have time to go into it now, but the day I got this opportunity, like all that time before, I was looking for a job. I was getting up in the morning. I was filling out resumes and applications and all this other kind of stuff. And the day that that opportunity came to me, like literally the phone call that was like, come in for an interview that day, what I had decided to do, me and my wife, we were both at home. I think it was summer because she was an educator, so she was out. Off, but I was at home and we just decided to take a sabbatical day. We just watched movies. We enjoyed each other's company. We just, you know, laid around and just relaxed. And I did nothing of the sort of trying to get a job. I wasn't striving for anything. And it just came to me because my thought pattern, the power of thought, had already said in my mind that this is what's going to happen. And then it eventually came to me. So how does this relate to financial contentment? Glad you asked. I believe that for a person to be truly financially content, you can't be plugged into the matrix of what this world says is okay, like the marketing machine and all the different things that go on. Now, there's nothing wrong with consuming goods and services, and there's nothing wrong with social media. I use all those mediums. However, with all the different things that are vying for your and my attention every day, these unlimited choices with limited resources, like I've said before, the limited resources of time and the limited resources of money, you have to be very intentional on how you're going to spend both of those. And that intentionality begins with your thoughts. You begin with the thought of how this day is going to go, how this week's going to go, how this year's going to go. And then you execute on that plan and you're not distracted by the things that would vie for your attention, whether they be, you know, a purchase that you don't need to make because you need to save for the future, or a job you don't need to take, or the relationship that you don't need to be in. All those different things, you don't need to be influenced. Let me say this succinctly. You don't need to be influenced by what they say more than what you want to do, okay? Otherwise, you'll never live intentionally. So I think, you know, that is probably suffice to say there. There's another quote from the book. Another weakness found in this, come to my last point, and then we'll move on to the next one. Another weakness found in altogether too many people is the habit of measuring everything and everyone by their own impressions and beliefs. So really what that's saying is you have to have a broader perspective on the world that is not so myopic, where you basically look beyond what popular media is telling you to do or what you feel has been impressed on you by popular media. You're looking beyond that. You're reading books like this. You're, you know, getting people to look into your life that know you, that will, as my wife would say, kind of pull your coattail, so to speak, and tell you the truth about what's going on so that you have a better experience out of life. So that's kind of how I think financial contentment relates to that, because you can't get to financial contentment unless you have a little bit of indifference about what people think about you. So let's go on to desire. This is actually, I'm actually going in chronological order for how the book goes, but this is not by design. So desire, he says desire is the starting point for all achievement. Totally agree. He uses the word desire, but I believe this can be translated into motivation or your why, which I've spoken about before, and I'll link some show notes from previous podcasts down below. So I like to say your greatest motivating factor for achieving any goal, whether that be financial, whether it be whatever, professional, whatever, is going to be your desire. You have to develop a great why for whatever what you're going to do, all right? I'll say that again. Your why has to be greater than your what. You can't have this, I want to accumulate $5 million. That's your what. Well, why do you want to do it? Because the motivation for why you want to do it is going to be the strongest thing to get you actually to that goal. So desire kind of says, at least this is what I think. Desire says, who am I becoming? Not who am I hoping or wishing to be. So who am I intentionally becoming because of what I'm actually dedicating my life to with a very definite and intentional aim or with definite and intentional actions? That's what desire says. So when you really desire something, you're kind of putting all the stuff that people would, like the cursory stuff that people do, you're actually putting feet to the grindstone. Example here, my daughter right now is in driving school, and we're driving back from the school at night, and I train her for track. I was a high jumper, she's a high jumper, so we work together. And I didn't really know that track season's upon us. I've just kind of been busy, and she just comes out and says, so when are we going to start training for high jump? And I'm like, oh yeah, I guess that is coming up. But see, that's her desire to be better at her craft than she was last year or the year before. Like, I don't have to say, Peyton, when do you want to go high jump? That's not what I have to do now. She's like, when do we go work out? That's desire, okay? See the difference. One's proactive, the other one's kind of reactive. So let's read a little bit from Napoleon Hill, and we'll wind this thing up. So, this is very good. So he says, every human being who understands the purpose of money wishes for it, right? We all have that in common. We all know money makes the world go around and it gets the thing that you need and all this other kind of stuff, right? Wishing will not bring riches, but desiring riches with a state of mind that becomes an obsession, then planning definite ways and means to acquire riches and backing those plans with persistence, which does not recognize failure, will bring riches. All right. So now there's so many ways you can go with this. And I know a lot of people, but we hear that, well, you don't need to desire riches like that. And it's selfish and da, 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 da. I'm not speaking to that person. For the person I'm speaking to, you kind of get it. You know, you're a good person. You're not trying to achieve these things for just your own selfish gain. You're actually trying to achieve riches to help people. Like if I were to receive $2 million now or win the lottery, I'm going to funnel a lot of that into the resource of this podcast, into other resources so that people are economically empowered and that they're more financially literate than they were before and they develop as a person. That's what I'm about. So whatever's in you, like my wife also likes to say, is going to be amplified by the, you know, things like money, right? When you get money or fame or notoriety, all you're doing is amplifying what's already in you. Those things don't necessarily change you. They just show you what type of person you really are. So I think he describes, and I don't want to spoil it, but he then goes into a six-part formula, if you will, for how to achieve riches like I just did. So I'm not going to spoil that for you. How does this relate to financial contentment? You got to get the book. How does this relate to financial contentment? Let's just kind of talk a little bit. So I've been talking about this message of financial contentment for about 2 years now. And there's a lot of different connotations of what this may mean. And I just want to break it down right now, because it's not about being satisfied per se, right? If I were to get, you know, win the lottery, like I just said, like I would not be satisfied with that amount. I would keep working. I would keep accumulating money. And it's not because I want to be greedy and spend it all on myself. It's because I can use that money, the more that I get and the more I accumulate of it, for the purpose that is greater than myself. So when you're thinking with that mindset, financial contentment is not about financial satisfaction per se. It's also, on the other hand, not about just getting more for the sake of getting more. Because at the end of the day, you have people like, you know, Bill Gates or Warren Buffett that have this foundation where they're accumulating a lot of wealth, billions and billions of dollars, but they're redistributing that and funneling that into, you know, medical research and cures and different things like that, and solving poverty, solving really big problems with the resources that they have. And so for those people to accumulate more of what they have with the skill set that they have that has allowed them to do that, there's that whole human capital exchange for financial capital. That's a good thing. Now, if you were to have somebody that was just going around robbing banks so that they can buy, you know, these things that are going to perish away, then that's something totally different. So financial contentment wouldn't even apply to that second set of people. Financial contentment applies to the people that want to use their money behind a purpose, to support a purpose that means a lot, that's going to make a difference, that's going to leave a legacy, that's going to leave an inheritance way beyond when they leave this earth, right? So I think there's a natural dissonance here, because we as humans, just if we're honest with ourselves, we want more. Like, we want more of stuff. There's a big greed problem that is kind of pervasive in the world. I deal with it. Like, I have to put it in check with different measures that I have in my life. But, you know, financial contentment says, I am the cure to greed, because you can live a life that will give you meaning, that will give you purpose, that would allow the relationships that you want to flourish and to be able to nurture those and to have the time and the resources to do just that and live the life you want. And it's not about a life of excess, and it's not a life about abject poverty either. So you find that balance. And I think the balance comes, just to say it real simply, is when you're going after money and you're using money and you're accumulating money, the whole purpose behind it is only to redirect it into something that has more purpose than you, more meaning than you. It's beyond you. It's not to say that you don't go buy clothes or all this other stuff. It's just to say that the greater purpose is what you're always keeping in mind, and that you're a steward, and that you're just redistributing that to something that needs it more. And so hopefully that helps. We have launched. Actually, before we do that, let's read this, because I think this is a good note to end on when we're talking about mindset and the power of thought and your desire. Because, you know, you may be in the place where you're like, Dominic, I'm really far from where you are. It looks like you have a lot. You have a great family. You have a blah, 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 whatever you think I may have that you see of my life. But it all begins with something that you can change. And that's why I want to read this. You can change your situation. You have the power to change that. You have to believe that. Here's a poem real quickly. We're winding up. I bargain with life for a penny, and life would pay no more. However, I begged at evening when I counted my scanty store. For life is just employer. He gives you what you ask, but once you have set the wages, why you must bear the task. I worked for a menial's hire only to learn, dismayed, that any wage I had asked of life life would have willingly paid. So begin with the end in mind. Start to think that you can have financial contentment. You can have the money that you desire. You can have the life that you desire. You can have the time spent on the things that you want to do. You can have all those things. But it really just starts with your power of thought and a definite decision of desire to do that. So I want to always offer you some things. So right now, what we're talking about is the Maven's Financial Bootcamp. I think this is a really great course. If you love today, if you like what we talked about today, you're going to love the e-course because I go into a lot of depth. It's over 2.5 hours of content where I am just really going to be challenging you on your money mindset and how you view things. And this is a preview of the course here, and you can get in, and there's modules, and there's 5 different modules, and each of them have about 3 lessons for you to really go through your situation with a fine tooth comb. We got worksheets, we got the whole 9. So it's really designed to make you win and help you win with your money. And it's $249, which I think is a really great investment for getting your life in alignment with your money. And you can get more. I got actually some previews on my public figure page. So if you want to see that, you can go there. But that's what I got for you today. It's been a pleasure. Next week, we'll talk more along the same lines with maybe a different book or a different movie. I haven't really decided yet. But as always, have a great and prosperous day. And thank you for watching. Take care. Bye-bye.